November 19th.
No, it's not. I'm going to do that again.
Oh, God.
It's one of those nights. It's December 19th, Friday night. It's freezing outside, middle of Tokyo. Hey, Renato.
Hey.
And hey there, Adrian.
Hey.
Here we are, speaking Manganese.
Hey.
And there's just been so much stuff going on over the last couple of months, post Macross Worldcon, that we decided we had to get together and throw some impressions together. But first...
Delta!
Did you say Delta?
Delta?
Delta.
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 Oh my God, Annika, I think they're talking about Delta.
Delta.
Delta. There better be some Destroids in this.
So, there is not much news on Macross Delta, or however we say it, yet. But there's been enough hints dropped by Kawamori over the past couple of months that we thought it'd be an idea, first of all, to start off tonight by looking at what we do know and do not know about Delta. First, what do we do know? It's a TV series. It's coming. Is it coming soon? Well, recent stuff that we've heard and hints that have been dropped would have us lead to believe that it might be further off than many people thought. For starters, we don't even know how to read the darn name. It's a triangle. Other than that, Kawamori said, and Renato, I know you heard some of this, for example, that he's only recently worked out how he wants to incorporate music into the show. This was in a talk show he did.
Which means that they're at the very, very early stage of concept planning still, because, you know, if he's just figured out what the main driving force of the show is going to be, then obviously there aren't any scripts yet. There are barely character designs yet.
Right, so we know he's worked out how he wants to put music into the show. We know the year, 2067. We have some kind of name. We know that there will be idols in it. He has said in a talk show only a couple of days ago that it would most likely be set far away from where the Frontier and Vajra conflict occurred, so it's looking to be in another distant part of the galaxy. And since there was recently they opened up auditions for people who wanted to be a Macross idol in this new series, that gives us more of an idea of the kind of time frame we're looking at. Because let's look at Megumi Nakajima. When she did her audition, it took 2 to 3 months for her to get the call that said she had the role. Now, the auditions for Macross Delta cut off at the end of January, which means we could be looking at 2 to 3 months after that before they even decide the main, potentially main, I'm presuming here, voice actress or singer for the show. And this could significantly change the character itself. It could also change the show itself. Kawamori has said he has the character concepts more or less down. That's not to say character designs. So we have a year, a vague setting, character concepts locked in.
I have a question.
A name and idols incoming. Yeah.
Is this are the auditions that they did?
They're auctioning.
Yeah, they're auctioning.
Idols, idols, idols. Get your idols. Going for $20, $30. Man in the back for 1,500. Yeah,
that's pretty low.
There
are they? Were they for actors or singers or both?
The audition,
yes,
is for singers. However, we don't know anything else. They've said for the auditions they want to make sure that they have a clear profile shot from the side and the front. But either way, we don't know. To answer your question,
yeah. Right. You're comparing it to how Frontier was released, and originally Frontier was announced in New Type magazine, and all they showed was preliminary sketches of what did not look like Alto and did not look like Cheryl or Ranka.
Oh, really?
Yeah. And they show the character sketches, and they're not by Risa Ibata. Uh-huh. And they only show the Batroid head, I think, but it's mostly an interview with Kawamori, and those sketches are kind of in the background underneath a layer of color. So you have to look into the color to see them.
I don't remember that at all.
Yeah. It was a two-page layout announcing a new Macross.
Do you have that?
Without issue? A name. I don't think I have it.
Oh.
And when they did the auditions and they finally had the Min-Man meets Firebomber.
Yeah.
And Megumi went out, did her live performance, did voices, and mm-hmm. then they showed the footage.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
The footage was from the first episode, but there were so many changes because the Ozma Valk was a different color. Mm-hmm. And it didn't have any of the super armor on.
It has like a blue scene,
yeah.
right?
It was originally white and blue.
Yeah.
And there, I think when you bought the
it wasn't
the Macross Quarter at some stores, they gave you a little postcard, and the original concept of the 25 was white and blue.
Right.
Yeah, this Kalmori sketch. So even
the Kalmori sketch is in the book that we got signed.
So even when they finally showed stuff,
insights of a creator.
Sorry. Yeah, even though
vision creator.
even though they finally showed some footage, that footage changed a lot.
That's interesting. I thought the very first announcement of the Frontier show was that they were going to do an audition. They were going to do an audition.
No, I think it was just announcement. I think that's when they probably had the name of the show. I don't know if the name was revealed yet.
I thought they just said new Macross.
They hadn't revealed the name.
Because I remember when they revealed the name, it was also when Megumi was shown, and they also they mentioned that there was a school setting, and it seemed that there was going to be a lot more emphasis on the school setting than there was originally.
Yeah.
So when I first saw that announcement, I was kind of face-palming. But I'm getting off topic here. So, regardless, there's not much known about Delta. Looking at the auditions are being held. It could be a long time until we see.
We don't even know if it's actually called Delta. We have to really. Yeah.
So,
and it's not a perfect triangle either. So
it never is.
It's an isosceles triangle.
But all right, events. There's been a bunch of stuff going down. In fact, just earlier today, there was a new Oshare Macross announced. The last Oshare Macross, there's the Macross the Museum is coming back.
Really?
It's coming to Shibuya. Shibuyaku de Culture.
I didn't know that. This was all announced today?
Today.
Well, some of us have work.
It's being, since it's Shibuyaku de Culture, it sounds like it's being held under the Oshare banner. So I'm thinking it's the museum and the shop, potentially.
That's cool.
But it's coming February 6th, next year. The cockpit's back. I'm wondering how they're going to tweak it this time.
It'll be interesting if I'm not in Japan at the time.
Where are you going to be at?
I might be in the UK.
For?
Visiting family.
Oh, okay.
So the last Oshare Macross was only a couple of months ago. It started October 17th, went to November 5. I know we've spoken of the Macross Oshare events before. They are small, limited time, normally 2 to 3 week stores which sell merchandise. Normally premiering some new kind of artwork with a small art gallery associated with it. Sometimes a signing event. They're normally very, very short. This time around, there was a Haruhiko Mikimoto signing on the line for those who got an autograph ticket.
Otherwise known as Random Old Man.
Oh yeah, I saw that on Facebook today, yeah. Richard.
What?
Yeah, that's a long story. But anyways, hi Richard.
By the time this goes on air, it's going to be like totally forgotten. We won't know what we're talking about.
Right. So this Oshare Macross was Oshare Macross 7. It was held in Shinjuku and it was supposed to celebrate the 20th anniversary of both Macross 7 and Macross Plus by having some goods and some merchandise. But they organized things a little different to normal this year. Now, Renato, you got a sneak peek? When did you first...
I didn't get a sneak peek.
What was your story with Oshare?
I went the day that it opened.
Okay.
Just before lunchtime, the morning.
Right.
That
was the Friday, the 17th?
It was the Friday, right. Because I had work in the afternoon, but I was free in the morning. So I went over there, and I don't remember what time it was, but it was like shortly after the... This was made at Marui, right? It was held at Marui,
yeah.
Which is kind of like a department store. Each floor has its own, like kind of different products targeted towards different styles of fashion.
Mm-hmm.
And the shop was actually just a corner of the sixth floor.
Right. The Oshare, last couple of Oshare Macrosses have not been the size they were back when Frontier was immediately post-Frontier.
I don't remember having been to any
Well, back before when they're on the corner for Marui, before they moved that section of the shop, it used to be.
Yeah, right. So I did go to one previously. Yeah, you're right. It was bigger, and they had all sorts of different items.
So did they let you into the store? It was actually open for business.
Well, I went to the sixth floor, and then I looked over to where the store was, and there were like rails set up that people were lining up. But there was also a barrier stopping me from getting inside, so I could see the people right there, and if I wanted to, I could move the barrier out of the way, but they wouldn't let me in. I'm like, is this closed? What's going on? And I asked the staff, and they said, yeah, these are people who got the special tickets to come in. And I'm like, well, since when do you need a ticket to go into a shop? And they said, well, you know, they're kind of priority people.
Wow.
They're like, special.
When did they ever announce this? On the way out, so I asked her, so when can regular plebeians like me come in? And they said, well, we don't know. We have to get through these customers first. Maybe come back in an hour and a half. And I'm like, all right, I guess I'll just waste time here then. So I turned around and I made my way back to the elevator. And waiting there was the guy with the round glasses.
Oh, yeah.
Big guy. Hiroshi. One of the hardcore Macross fans.
Who recently got married.
Anyway. It wasn't that recent. It was about a year ago now.
No, that was the registration. The wedding happened like a week or two after. Anyway, keep it.
All right. To another Macross fan, I believe.
Yeah. His wife's a huge Macross fan. But please, keep.
Anyway, he looked at me and he called me because I think I hadn't noticed him or something. And we stood next to the giant monster that was outside the elevator. They were advertising the monsters and the really expensive figures, the dolls.
They're not figures. They're dolls.
Gotcha.
He said, you didn't know about this either, right? And I'm like, what? You're supposed to be one of the hardcore fans. You didn't get a ticket? And I'm like, no, I don't know when they announced the ticket. They didn't say anything was gonna that they were gonna have any pre-advance entries or anything like that. And I'm like, well, if these guys don't know and they're on the ball all the time, they know all the events beforehand, then who the hell? Because I looked at that crowd and I didn't recognize anyone. Yeah. And usually we know who the first ones are. And
wasn't fan club stuff?
Could be. I must admit,
I didn't know either. What I went for. See, that was the 17th. The 18th was the signing. And so the way that worked was that. Well, let's look at how these things normally work. Normally, you go the day of the signing, and if you're within the first 50 to 100, they decide prior to the event, people to purchase 3,000 yen or more worth of merchandise, you can get an autograph ticket. And you can't choose what you get autographed. Now, this is how it normally works. So whenever there's an All-Shouty Macross, on the day they designate for the signing or a talk show, people turn up at ridiculous hours in the morning to line up.
Yeah.
And so we thought this is how it would be this time. There were people who'd flown up from, I think it was Nagoya or Kansai or somewhere. They'd been there since 5... They'd gotten the first flight in, been there since 5:30 in the morning. I got there maybe 7:30 to 8 in the morning. And doors
really?
Open. About 7:30, maybe.
7:30. Oh, you're talking about like the old ones, right?
No, this is this one.
This one, yeah. Really?
Because I hadn't looked into any. Like, I ran into some other fans, and they're like, "What do you think of the changes to how this has been done?" I'm like, "Changes? I just presumed we had to be here early. I was in the first 50 people or so. I think I was actually 51, 52.
Yeah.
And anyway, so the time comes, and about half an hour before the doors open, a staff member comes around with a box full of numbers on pieces of paper, and you have to put your hand in and draw a number out. And if you're in within the first 50 people, you got an autograph. So there were people who were like number 4 in the line. They'd been there since 5:30 in the morning. They didn't get a number, and they had to go home. They'd flown all
so
the way.
So when you
out.
Say if you're within the first 50 people, you mean
so
if
now,
you're lucky enough to have
so now yeah, the way it used to be is if you're lined up, but now it is if you draw a number of 1 to 50 and there were I think 100 or 200 numbers in there. It turned out there were 200 people lined up for this thing, and actually I've forgotten whether it was 50 or 100 people.
Yeah.
From memory, half the people got turned away, so that would mean there were 100 people who got signings. Mm-hmm. But either way, these people who'd been in line got turned away. It was a really bad way to do things. No one was really happy about it. Someone was so upset that someone else gave them the ticket. It was kind of all getting dramatic.
What's the point of doing that? Why couldn't they just do the first 50 or first 100?
I don't know. I mean, the way these things work is, you know, you have to get off your butt, make the sacrifice to your sleep schedule, get in there early, or you know, you snooze,
and
you lose.
On top of that,
now you've got to be lucky, which is, it's just really odd. So I got a ticket. I was lucky enough to draw a winning number.
Okay.
So then I went and hung out waiting for the signing session. And there was as usual, the collaboration suites they do. They had Firebomber parfaits and Firebomber cakes, and they'd put Macross footage on all the screens in the cafe, so you had everything from Macross 30 openings to, you know, Macross 7 Blu-ray box set advertisements, all that stuff. Killed some time, and then the store opened, so went into the store to look at what they had. Now, as you said, you eventually got in, right?
Yeah, because I went after lunch.
Okay.
And then I went in, and they didn't have much.
It was a very limited selection, and for something,
the things that I went in to buy weren't on sale yet.
Oh, really?
Like the Basara glasses.
Okay.
Right? I thought they would be on there. But then, you know, there was a Firebomber gig that was coming up.
The following day. Well, that 2 days later for you. It was the 19th.
And yeah,
you
were right, on the 17th. Right.
For me, it
was
the following day.
Yeah.
But yeah. We'll get to that.
So they wanted to reveal it then, I guess. So all I got was like a keyring. The little sticker that you put on the Suica as well.
Oh, right.
That they call a jacket. It's apparently a jacket.
You already got one of those from Macross 2. You should know how this works.
I know. And a pencil case, which I lost last week, but I found this week.
Well, I noticed that for something that was supposed to be celebrating the 20th anniversary of Macross Plus and Macross 7... there was very little. Well, first of all, there was new Macross Frontier illustrations on the art cards, on some of the art cards, to get the younger fans in, presumably.
Which Hisame was very upset about.
Then there was a number of new Macross 7 illustrations, and one Sharon Apple illustration that I'm pretty sure was originally a fold-out poster from a magazine at some point.
I think it was, I've seen it too.
The best thing I think they had there was, like, to buy, was this keyring, Renato, which I know you saw, which was a YF-19 and a 19 Kai.
Yeah, like it's
half and half.
Half and half. And I got it because I wanted to use a keyring. I need a keyring because I broke mine. And now I'm looking at it and I think it's actually really nice, and as you described it, you know, it was
deep.
Like the embodiment of the 20th anniversary.
Yeah.
So I kind of don't want to use it now because it'll just get scratched up with all the keys I'm going to put on it.
That would have made a nice poster.
It would have, yeah.
See, here you go with your wasteful things, because what are you going to do with that poster? You are going to keep it in your cupboard over there. And you, Gwyn, you're going to send it off to Australia.
Wait, so you were talking about things in a cupboard and you weren't talking to me. This is a nice role reversal. They also had things like these huge round UN Spacey logo iPad cleaners, which were just ridiculously huge.
Which are impractical, I think.
Those are for...
For
iPads,
screen.
Right?
Yeah, that's right.
And
better suited for Windows, I think.
The best thing I thought
actual
about
Windows.
The best thing I thought about the actual All Shadow Macross was the fact that on the back wall they had a bunch of Mickey model art from Macross the First. All up on the back wall, yeah.
Oh yeah. You're right.
And I was like, why aren't they selling those on art cards? Like,
I know
all the new big pieces of art from Macross the First, Min Mei, that Shammy picture of her in the opera's outfit, all looking really gorgeous.
That's right.
All strictly no photos. Like, I'm used to doing...
Yeah, that was it. Like, no photos of this shop.
Right.
Why? It's a shop.
And I've always done photos in those shops.
Yeah.
I got told to stop taking pictures. That might not have stopped me from taking pictures, but... Because when you left the shop, there was kind of a gap in the partition where you could fit a camera lens, but...
Yeah.
But those illustrations are really good. They're the best thing about it. Then later in the day, we eventually got around to the Mickey Mortal signing, and it was a rather low-key affair. It wasn't like some of these signings we've been to in the past where you get to sit down with him and have a chat. There was not even a chair for the person getting their autograph. They had a really nice board this time around, like Shikishi, to get signed.
Not according to Adrian, right?
It was a picture of Milan. Wow. Slightly older looking Milan, just shoulders.
Which signing?
Shoulder face. The Mickey Mouse one?
I didn't
know. Well,
I know, but you berated it.
One of the yellow background.
You complained about it. You said, I quote you directly. I may be paraphrasing. if that's the art board that they gave out, then I don't care. Then I don't mind that I didn't go or something like that.
That's right. Because I didn't go. And yeah, I vaguely remember you put up a picture on Facebook, Gwen.
Yeah, I did.
And I saw it. That's the art card? Oh, okay. I don't mind that I didn't go.
But moving on.
Yes,
the
please.
Following day, on the Saturday,
yeah,
for you,
I saw you.
Or that night for me, was a Chie Kajiura concert, Laboratory 09. And I've got to point out that this was not a Milan night, this was not a Milan concert, this was a Chie concert. And she was celebrating, what was it, her 20th anniversary?
Right, yes.
So she has two 20th anniversaries, according to her, right?
Which makes no sense, because I thought her 20th anniversary began in 95.
She says that one is...
As a solo artist.
Right. She says one is her solo artist anniversary, one is her Macross debut anniversary. One is her...
Okay, well,
her
that's
anniversary,
a Macross anniversary.
And the other one is her, yeah, her anniversary of her debut
really,
as Chie Kajiura.
She's really stretching it out.
So, yeah, she's trying to get two events out of this. Which, no, that would have made this event her Macross anniversary, but she only did like three or four Macross songs tops, if that, two or three.
Which
maybe.
Is weird, yeah.
Now,
because she's complaining about not getting equal billing as Fukuyama on the Macross 7
Five Bomber
concert they had the next day.
Mm-hmm.
But for her concert, she's not doing Macross 7 songs either, so like, what the hell?
Yeah, that's a good point. Now, this concert had two types of tickets. We both opted for the... I don't know, special ticket, deluxe ticket, where you got the concert and then some kind of what was supposed to be an after party afterwards.
Oh, no. They sold out of that, so I only got the regular ticket. And then on the door, I had the option of buying the after party ticket.
Mm.
But they didn't... I don't know. At the door, they were very confused. They were like, oh, you want to come to the party? Like, they were... It's almost like they didn't want to sell me the ticket. They didn't know what was going on. Like, they had to call someone else to explain the situation.
Well, this was held in Yoyogi at a tiny little basement place called Zer the Zoo. Zer the Zoo Yoyogi.
Yeah.
And so we went down there, and as I said, it mostly was Chie's original stuff, including from her new mini album, which... didn't actually release until a week or more later, but at both her gig and the following day's Firebomber gig, they were pre-selling the album, so you get your hands on a copy before anyone else.
Yeah.
And if you bought it at her concert, it came with a sticker, which seemed kind of meh. If you bought it at the Firebomber gig, it came with a full poster, like a B2 poster, autographed by Chie. So I'm like, why would you buy it at her gig when you get a full poster autographed at the Firebomber gig?
Yes, what kind of stupid moron would buy it at her gig?
Who?
I bought it at her gig. knowing that I was going to the after party,
mm-hmm.
and assuming that I could have gotten it autographed.
Autographed, we'll get to that. But, so she did most of the songs off here, I believe, like Swim, but half of them we've heard before.
She did
Pain,
I think.
Half of the songs in this album, there's only 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6.
Well...
half of them were on that memory stick she released.
You say six, right? But, like, because is... I'll read you the whole lyrics right now. Because. This is the name of the song, Because. Because this moment all we need is love. Because this moment all we need is love. Lyrics cheer, music cheer. So, that's it. That's the song. This isn't even a full song. This is, like, 1, 2, 3, 4, maybe 5 songs on a 6-track CD.
Okay. Well, what did you think of the songs that were full songs?
Like, I'd heard half of them on the USB thing already.
Exactly, yeah.
And the other half, you know, I heard the CD after coming back home from the gig.
Mm-hmm.
And as I explained in our future podcast, because we're going back in time.
No, maybe. I wouldn't know anything about that, yes.
Please
explain.
The song sounded much better live. This
Which
is a
song?
Good CD. Most of them, but in particular, this one here called Pain.
Pain. Okay. That's very fitting.
Sounds like pain. The lyrics are, shout, red, blue, grief, black, emergency, red, blue, grief, black, love is all we need. Lyrics, Chie, music, Takashi Otsuki, and Chie. So, like, I don't know. It's it sounded really good at the time.
But?
But that was a live band, and this is a drum machine.
Ah, okay.
And a lot of PC programming, Pro Tools or whatever. I don't know. It's
I found that Tomb in Heaven was a very good song. Always like that. I thought Moon was okay. So the gig itself, and you mentioned that the song sounded better at the gig. Overall, what was your impression of it? I know we did get we got My Friends, we got Duck It or Baby, and we got Plastics, I believe.
Overall, the whole of the music, I felt she'd done much better in her previous gigs because she always used something really random like tabla drums or a theremin on stage,
right,
you know.
Right.
And there was none of that here. It sounded like a regular band. Fair enough, it was fine, but she didn't really stray far off from what these songs sound like on the record. And I don't mean like these new songs. I meant like the regular ones that she's done on her solo albums. Another thing is I was one of the last people in, and it was pitch dark, and I walked into I couldn't see anything, but I met Okamoto-san, who is the Firebomb Bar bartender.
Oh yeah.
So he recognized me. I couldn't see him, but he somehow saw me. And so I was sitting with him at the back, which was fine were it not for this girl who was already drunk, sitting next to me, or standing next to me, rather. And she was dancing at every song, like, really wildly, right?
Oh, yeah.
She was, like, flailing about. And every so often, Chie would do some emceeing and talking between songs.
Mm-hmm.
And what was she saying? I can't remember what she said. She was like...
She was the one yelling out from the back, right? Like, was that
She was right next to me. Yeah, so she would say something like, "We've got a gig tomorrow. Who's coming to that?" You know, and
she says she's not going.
Somebody said, "I'm not going."
And she says, "Well, fine then." She's like, "Oh."
Well, she didn't. She said, "I'm not going. I'm not going to that one." And then Chia said, "All right, well, fine. You don't have to come." And the girl pushed me in front of her and said, "This guy said it wasn't me."
Oh, really?
Yeah. And I'm like, "What are you talking about? What are you doing?" And so she started laughing. And then she fell asleep, I think, after a while.
All right.
I don't know. She was with some guy who was like twice her age, but
sounds like a party to me.
That's what was going on at the back.
I do kind of agree with you, though, Renato. I didn't feel that there was the creativity we'd gotten in the Millennium Nights. She tends to rearrange Macross stuff more than her.
Not just that,
stuff.
Like the other laboratory gigs as well.
But the other laboratory gigs I've been to, a couple of them, well, not even laboratory, you know, her birthday gigs were normally at more, you know, sit down kind of places where you actually could talk to her more and you had way more, like, you could sit down and just relax and listen. This. I agree with you. It sounded more like a regular band, but I did think her band had improved because, especially at the Crossover 30 Live, when they were on stage, you know, right before Fukuyama and his band, the F band, there was no contest. Like, I thought Chia's musicians came across as more amateurish than they normally seem, but this time around, it seemed like they'd been practicing. I thought they gelled a little
better. I don't know. I mean, she arranges her band.
Yeah, she does.
All the time. It's not always the same members.
No. But, you know, as you mentioned, she wouldn't even say Firebomber. So this goes back to all the controversy of her being invited to the Firebomber Basura Explosion gig, which was the following day.
Yeah, she said a lot of things which I don't remember anymore because it was several months ago now.
But as we've said before, Chia is nothing if not a businesswoman. Now, we had the concert.
She's a good musician. Chia is nothing.
We had the concert. Then we had this after party. Then we had this after party, which was not what anyone expected, I think. For starters,
I walked in and I saw on the screen...
Okay, so Chia has said, you know, I wanted to put some Macross or Macross 7 up on the screen to give this after party some atmosphere. But so I grabbed this box of discs, rang out the house, and she put them on, and it was the original Gundam. Now, why she had a box of the original Gundam in the house, let alone a box of Chinese bootleg Gundam complete with Chinese subtitles lying around the house. I don't know, but so we had original Gundam playing during this Macross, this Chia Kajiura after party, which was bizarre.
And the guy next to me said, you know what, you should have just put Aurugus on. That would have been better.
And the after party, Adrian and I had gotten into one of these previous, special events we talked about, one of the previous Milen Nights, the third one, where we got to hear rehearsal, we got a picture with her. This was kind of nothing like that, and I didn't think it was worth the money. She came down off the stage, there was a bunch of cheap food out, and beer.
It was pizza, Domino's pizza.
Right, and she walked around and talked to people. Yeah, and you could talk to her for a little bit, and that was it.
Right. Well, that wasn't it. She performed one song.
One extra song, right.
Which one was it? I don't remember.
Nor do I.
It was like Kimi ni Todoke or something like that.
But then...
And one lucky member who won at... one lucky audience member, rather, who managed to win at Janken,
mm-hmm.
could... Rock, Paper, Scissors. Could perform with Chia Kajiura...
That's right, yeah. With the girl.
On the maracas or whatever that was. The shaker.
Right, for that song.
Yeah, so it was Chia, and then next to her was a guitar player from the band, acoustic,
mm-hmm.
and some audience member on the shaker.
So we had a bunch of fans I ran into there who were like, Chia said she's going to do autographs. Like, that was one of the big appeals of this after party, right?
Yes.
So... Like, the guy I found myself next to having a beer with had printed out, he'd scanned in one of the original magazine print ads for one of Chia's very early two albums, where she's wearing a more revealing outfit, and she's really young. And he'd blown it up to A4 size, really high quality.
Oh, right, yes,
and he was like, I'm going to get her to sign this. And I'm like, really what cool. do you think she's going to say when she sees that? Well, he never got the chance, because as it turned out, Chia was only signing T-shirts that were bought at the gig. Not even CDs that were bought at
the gig.
Yeah,
T-shirts which would render them unwearable.
Right, especially, or the signature moot if you got it washed. It was just... I'd taken a Macross crossover stick poster of Milen. I really wanted to get her signed. She was not signing anything, and all these people had stuff they were pulling out. One guy had brought... garage kit of Milen and someone,
a garage kit of the VF11 Milen Valkyrie.
And no one got any of these things autographed, so she was kind of a bit skint.
Yeah, and I bought the CD for God's sakes.
Yeah,
So I lined up, because some people were saying, well, she's autographing anything now.
Right.
And I got to the top of
the queue.
No, wait. It was before someone had told me that she's autographing everything now. I didn't know that it was only T-shirts.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so I got to the top of the queue, and she said, no, sorry, I'm only doing T-shirts. And I went back and ate more pizza. And then after about half an hour, another person came up to me and says, it's okay now, she's signing other stuff as well. And I'm like, okay, here we go, round two. And I lined up with the guy with the VF11 Maxwell.
Okay.
As well, he's right next to me, and we go to the front of the queue, and she looks at me with this "oh, you again" kind of look, and I'm like, "Yeah, I heard that you're signing all the stuff now," and she's like, "No, just T-shirts. Buy a T-shirt or nothing," and I'm like, "Okay, nothing then."
Yeah, that was really.
I'm not buying a T-shirt I can't wear.
That was really lame. I won't lie.
Yeah. Oh, you know what was really cool that we didn't have a chance to. Really explore very much, but the venue actually had a robot bar right next to it. There was a giant Great Mazinger, I think,
right.
outside of this bar, and if you peeked inside the window, there were just Gunpla and all sorts of robot stuff everywhere, but it's just a regular bar. So she's doing another gig at that venue next time, and so
next
we should
February.
Definitely.
So yeah, let's check it out.
Yes, if I'm not in the UK,
maybe we'll record from there even.
If I'm not in the UK,
so let's move on, because the following day was actually, so this weekend we've had Shadow Macross. There's been Mickey Mortal signings, there's been a cheer gig, but this was all leading up to Firebomber 2015 Basara Explosion.
Yes, I was trying to get some tickets from someone at the show there, and Okamoto-san even phoned somebody to get me a ticket, but I didn't find any. So I did not go anywhere. I stayed at home, and I just texted you and said, hey, can you buy me a t-shirt, please?
Yeah.
And you did, so thank you.
So
I was actually going to go just for the merchandise.
Yeah, well, we'll get to that. But first of all, as it turned out, I was the only one who made it. So, Adrian, do you want to give me the Cliff Notes version of what happened to you? Because you had a ticket.
Go all out.
Oh, what please. Happened to me? So I went to Oshari Macros. Was that on Thursday? Was last day, right? I think it was Thursday or Wednesday.
Okay.
So middle of the week before TA and Fireball, Basara Explosion. That weekend, I went on a cabin trip of up by Mount Fuji. And I had it all planned out that I'd go there on Saturday, miss Chie. I'm cool with missing Chie because I've been to her gigs before and I'm good with it. So went to the cabin, stayed overnight, went to an onsen, had a great time, had an awesome breakfast, got ready to go. And leave, timed everything perfectly so I can get to Yokohama like in time.
Ready? What? Like Republica?
Oh, baby, God. I'm ready Shut to up. Go. Plan everything so that I can get on road, on the road in time, and get to Yokohama with time to spare. 10 minutes on the highway, we hit traffic lights. 40 minutes after that, my friend's car breaks down on the highway.
The traffic lights on the highway?
No, the brake lights. It's just...
Oh, okay.
A sea of brake lights.
I see. Okay, right.
And according to Google, it went all the way to Hachioji.
Really?
Yeah. The Google map was just... Google map was just a big red line all the way to Hachioji.
Why? What was happening?
Who knows?
People were breaking down.
People breaking down. Yeah,
people kept breaking down. We were in traffic for 40 minutes seeing people getting towed away. And we're like, oh, man, that sucks to get towed. And then all of a sudden, my friend's like, wait a minute. Hold on. And the rest, we had to push the car off to the side. And in short, we finally got it to a station, and I caught the last train home. That's how long we were on the side of the road.
Wow.
And during that whole time, I was on Twitter, just looking at Twitter and seeing all the news being announced.
Yeah.
And then I was debriefed by Gwen the following day.
Well... Let's debrief everyone else then.
Yeah, take it away. So in fact, Adrian and I have to leave, so we'll just leave you to talk to the microphone by yourself, because there's nothing that we can say. See you there. I'm kidding, please continue. I'll make some crassic comments, don't worry.
So this thing was held at Kanagawa Kenbin Hall.
Yeah.
The doors were supposed to open at 5 p.m. and the show started at 5:30. This was on October 19th. So it was a Sunday, which seemed like an odd time to have a concert, because normally they do these things on Saturdays, but it did give it a bit of a different feel. The last one or two Firebomber concerts I've been to were on weeknights, whereas since this was on a weekend, it felt much more like one of the crossover gigs. People were there early, not just for merchandise, but to hang out. People were there in cosplay. Of course, Hisame and some other friends were there in cosplay. The lead female singer from Teshima Explosion, the Macross 7 cover band, was there dressed as Emilia and hanging out, which was really cool. So it had this really great atmosphere, and everyone was just hanging out the entire day, pretty much. Of course, we'd all gotten there very early for the merchandise. Now, I got there probably just after 9-ish. The merchandise didn't go on sale, mind you, until 1:30 in the afternoon. And they're already... I'd say 80 people, if not 100, in front of me. So this tells you what a demand for Firebomber merchandise there is now, 20 years after. The fans eat it up.
Mm.
Of course, there's nowhere near the demand we saw, you know, for example, for Frontier merchandise, like those little the Nijiro Kumakumas, bears they were selling at some of the Frontier concerts. But it had more of this sense of a festival. I met a Basara cosplayer who'd come over from Hong Kong, you know, which was kind of interesting.
Mm.
Now, I got there as early as I did because I was after.
From Hong Kong just for that concert? Or he was from Hong Kong?
He had timed... He was from Hong Kong. He'd come over for the concert and sightseeing. So he'd timed it. He was off to I think, Kyoto or something the next day.
Wow.
So I was in line early because I wanted this copy of Cher's album with the autographed poster, you know, which I got. But I've really got to say, they finally nailed Fire Bomber merchandise. It only took them 20 years, or actually, in my opinion, about 18 years, because at the last Fire Bomber gig...
I don't know what you're talking about.
2012, I think it was, actually. 1994
had lots of really interesting colouring books.
No, but they've finally standardised the logo.
Yeah.
And started designing things around it. And they've re-released, as you mentioned, the Basara sunglasses, which are a lot better than the old ones they released in Animate back in the day.
Yeah, why are they better? Is it because an actual
I think it was actually done by a sunglass company. Yeah. And it comes with a proper case and all that.
And you can get them prescribed. That you can get prescriptions for them.
But, you know, they had the branding. There were people in front of me buying between $400 and $700 worth of merchandise. It was kind of nuts. In particular, I will have to put a shout out to the t-shirt. While there were issues with the t-shirt that we'll get to in a moment, the t-shirt was either black or red, and it was supposed to be this decal of a Firebomber guitar strap going down your chest, and the back of it was an outline of Basara's guitar, which worked really nice if you were walking around without a jacket on. And everyone was wearing them. It was kind of really cool. Yeah. It looked really great. The design was great. They had, you know, keychains, all the usual paraphernalia. People were buying a lot of this. So, apart from the merchandise, though, what was going on? The hall next to the venue for the concert was displaying a bunch of new Macross merchandise. For example, the Monster, as you mentioned, Adrian, which they then went and later put in Oshare Macross, the shop, afterwards. They were showing the Dolphy dolls. That was the first time I'd seen the Dolphy dolls. Dolphy Dream dolls, which are like hundreds and hundreds of dollars each. There were a lot of people taking pictures of those. They had... very, very simple outline design for the upcoming Milan base, which Arcadia still claims it's making.
Okay. What do you mean claims?
Well, I haven't heard anything about it for a while.
That's true. But then the Basara guitar also took literally years to get made.
That's a fair point.
Since it was announced.
They also had a preliminary version of the recently announced $600, $700 Firebomber leather jacket.
Mm-hmm.
And, wow, that's an expensive leather jacket. And actually, the preliminary version didn't look as good as the one that it looks like is going on sale, because it had the Firebomber logo on the back, but it was really new-looking, whereas they've artificially faded it to make it look worn in the
well, in the latest version. In the latest photographs that you can see, right?
I haven't actually seen a physical sample, but it looked a little new. I don't mind the jacket. It seems like they could have done more with it. They've got, like, a Firebomber logo on one... on one arm, a speaker pod, I think, is it? Or something
on
the other?
It's just a speaker.
It's just a speaker.
Like, it's kind of... It says, listen to my... It says, battle is senseless, listen to my song.
Right.
Around it.
Right.
In a circular fashion. Yeah, I don't know. I have my issues with that jacket.
I noticed. But that's another topic. So... We're hanging out, doing all this stuff, taking a bunch of pictures, as you do. So, and then we get into the gig. Now... I've got to put this out there. I was really looking forward to this, but I also wasn't expecting anything major, because honestly, I've been to the last couple of Firebomber gigs, and for all us talking about them, how many Firebomber dedicated gigs would there have been? Probably half a dozen, if that, over the last 20 years, and I've been fortunate enough to go to 3 or 4 of them, and I've seen it all done before. There's not much that could be done that would really make this stand out. So I was expecting a standard Firebomber performance. Actually, less than standard, because we knew going in the Cher would not be on stage as much as normal. However, this concert managed to do a few things that really were amazing. Overall, it was... Fukuyama was being Fukuyama. The renditions of the songs were closer to the Fukuyama Fire versions, which we've come to expect now. So he started off with his normal warm-up introduction, did Planet Dance, did Holy Lonely Night, did Totsugeki Love Heart, Seventh Moon, Submarine Street, Remember 16, My Soul For You, Parade, New Frontier, Feel Universe, and then Cher came on, did Pillow Dream, she did My Friends, and she did Virgin Story, of all things. So those are the three songs we got there. There was then a rendition of Light the Light, although I forget if they did it together or not. Fukuyama then went on to do Burning Fire, Starlight Dream, Power to the Dream, Try Again.
Oh, he actually did Power to the Dream.
Did Power to the Dream.
That's
pretty rare.
Probably the first time that he's ever done it.
Well, that was the first hint I got. And keep in mind, we are 18 songs into the set list now. And I'm like, okay, this is fun. This is enjoyable. People are on their feet. This is a song I haven't heard before. But then what I've been wanting to hear since I was in pretty much high school happened. And that is...
Spiral Answer.
Mika Okudoi came on. Mika Okudoi. And did what? Heart and Soul.
Oh my god.
Hey.
Captain Global.
What?
Richard will get that joke. It's from Do You Remember Love?
Oh, okay.
There was a voice when Captain Global was saying that we've made a peace conference with the aliens.
Okay.
There's a voice in the background that says, oh my god, that you can only hear in the monaural version of the movie.
Okay.
Please continue.
Thank you for that.
It's Macros related. Macros Speaker Podcast.
So, Mika Okudoi, she only did the one song, then did Heart and Soul together. I was, you know, that was just, it was unbelievable. So I was like, all right, I've got one song I haven't heard before. I've gotten Heart and Soul. What else can come of this? Well, they were trying to add something new here, and something that I don't know if you know, Renato, that Basura guitar, and Fukuyama had like three of them on stage. One of them was probably the prototype. One of them was probably that fan-made one. All up, as we know, there have only been 20 that ever went on sale in two sets of 10. So 20 in the whole world. That seems rather rare. Did you know, however, that there is in fact a rarer Basura guitar out there? An official one?
No. Okay. Is it the first one that he did, the fire?
It's from
what's it called?
Dynamite 7. He has that guitar which almost looks like a violin ukulele, kind of. It's orangey brownie.
Oh.
And it's more acoustic-ish. There was one made in the 90s for some sort of competition.
Really?
And, you know, someone won it. And that was the last he'd ever heard of it. But he was like, if he's going to do a Dynamite 7 song, he wanted to try and play it with that guitar. And apparently he put the call out and no one knew where it was. However, the master of Firebomb Bar happened to know the guy who'd won the guitar. Turns out he lives down in that area. Yeah.
Really?
So he got, apparently...
How does he know everything?
apparently Fukuyama approached him and, like, head lowered, begged him to try to get the guitar. Now, this is not stuff Fukuyama said on stage, mind you. All he said was that the owner had been tracked down and was good enough to lend it to him. This all came out talking to people afterwards.
Yeah.
Okay. And so apparently the Okamoto-san tracked down this owner who lent Fukuyama the guitar for one song. So it was the only time it's been played in concert, possibly the only time it will be.
Yeah.
So it was very much, well, the general gist of the concert was fairly standard. There are a lot of firsts in there, which...
Why is there no photograph of this?
Oh, there is.
Is it?
My written report will be coming shortly, so keep an eye on the front page.
You've got a photograph of the guitar?
Of the guitar, yeah.
Really? Okay.
So the concert went on. You know, after that, we got Dynamite Explosion, and we finished off with Angel Voice. And that was it. Concert's over. 22 songs. Pretty darn big set list. And the curtains go down. And there had been a screen playing some footage from Macross 7 in various parts of the concert, which I will talk about on the future podcast. But after the concert finished, the screen came back up. And suddenly we got our first ever look at the preliminary working title for the new Macross series, Macross Delta. It was the first time they'd ever shown that audition poster with Cheryl Ranker and Minmay, and the crowd, like, everyone got to their feet. This was the opposite to Adrian. You remember when we got faked out for the Music Culture announcement? I think it was, they said check the website. It was at one of the Yokohama events.
Oh yeah, Pacifico.
And it was like almost an anime scene where everyone falls on their face with their feet in the air because it was nothing. This was the exact opposite. Like, people, and they didn't have a lead up to it. It just came up. Like, it was a very little lead up, and people were on their feet, and everyone's talking. We walk out of the hall, and they've replaced all the posters outside the hall in the lobby.
During the concert, they were
during the
busy.
Concert, they'd replaced them all with Macross Delta posters.
Okay.
Even ones with, like, light-up backs were out in the Oh, out okay. in the front of the venue, right, like lying, right, and people were going nuts. And I had like 2% left on my phone battery, and I'm trying to get this out there to everyone, to Twitter, to the Facebook groups, to Anime News Network, yeah, and I'm trying to get this out there. As it turned out, while we were in the hall with no phone reception, the website had gone live. So Anime News Network picked up on it before I'd left the venue. But so yeah.
That sound you hear is Gwyn shaking his fist at the sky, shouting, "Egan!
Egan, damn you, Egan Liu!" He'll be back in a podcast next year at some point. So that
meanwhile,
was...
Meanwhile, Adrian was in a broken down car shaking his fist up in the air going, "Gwyn!"
So that was...
And I was at home going, "Everything!"
You can find a ticket. I had a ticket with me.
Yeah. And no way to get into, yeah. But you got your t-shirt at least.
Yes, thank you very much.
Oh, my pleasure. So that was...
But I don't have my issue.
That was Buster Explosion 2015, Firebomber. Touch on, guys, since I know you didn't go to this either, another Macross related concert which happened shortly afterwards, October 1st and October 21st, Maine did a gig which she called RE Main Act. You remember RE, we last saw it as in Refire?
Yeah.
It's Japanese, really weird abbreviation for redo, right? Or renewal,
yeah.
Something like that. And the whole thing was, I don't know if people remember Maine's original main act gig. It was from 2009.
Do people remember?
Remember? They will remain with main act? The original main act gig was in 2009, so it was coming off the success of Macross Frontier. It was her first major solo gig. And as a result, it was 90%, 80-90% Macross Frontier songs. And Fukuyama came on and did a Totsugeki Love Heart with her for the first time. So it was a big milestone for her. And she wanted to redo the entire gig down to the set list.
Down to Fukuyama including as well?
We'll get to that.
Oh, really?
So it was the same venue. They'd even brought back the same interior, which they had the same curtain and logo laying around in a storage facility somewhere for 5 years. And she did basically the entire set list exactly the way it was on the DVD that came out 4 to 5 years ago. So if you've seen the DVD of Main Act, you've pretty much had the experience of the original concert and the experience of the concert I went to. I will say
so it remained act the same.
So she wore a wig?
Ooh, that's a good... Because she got short hair now, right?
She got short hair now.
Funny you should say that, because in the encore, she ran off and came back with a long-haired wig, trying to recapture those glory days of her youth 5 years ago. It was very obvious that Maine's developed as a singer. Her voice was a lot stronger than it previously was. However, as I mentioned, she did the same gig 2 nights in a row. I went on the second night because a friend of mine from the office, who's the biggest Maine fan I know, and he's not necessarily a Macross fan. He's a huge Maine fan. That was the night he got tickets for, so we kind of skipped the afternoon off work together to go to this Maine concert. It turned out Fukuyama had only gone the night before.
Mm.
So they got Fukuyama with her on the 21st. We didn't get her on the 22nd, which was, you know, a shame. As I said, her delivery of the songs was a lot stronger, but it was just nothing new. But I got 80-90% Macross Frontier songs, Maine doing them herself, which is something I hadn't heard in a while, in a couple of years. Now, for anyone who doesn't already own the DVD, which is honestly the best way to experience this, wouldn't you know it, they've announced a live CD of the concert, which is a re-performance of a previous concert, which was also on DVD. So you've probably heard these songs before, but they're releasing a double CD of RE Main Act. It comes out February 18th next year, and it's going to be 2,500 yen, which is rather cheap for this kind of double album. So if you want to hear what Main's performance was like, and that is a recording of the first day's performance with Fukuyama and Main on it, keep an eye out for that CD next year.
And in toy news, well, in Macross merchandise toy news, and November 18th was the Miyazawa Mokei Winter Showcase for 2014.
Which is Miyazaki Mokei.
Which
one is it? Miyazawa or Miyazaki?
Dang him.
And he's put a double K in Mokei, so it's Mokei. So, like, what is he trying to say?
raising my fist to him again.
Gwen!
Yeah, he said, Miyazaki. No, it's Miyazawa Mokei.
Okay.
So, I was on a roll and you had to point that out. Anyway.
No, we got to be correct, man. We got to be accurate. What do you think this is?
Damn it.
Macross non-speaker podcast?
Non-speaker.
Held at the apartment. Lol.
Lol. Yes, fortunately, the Miyazawa Mokei sometimes is held in the same building that the speaker podcast actually records it. And this time, that happened to be the case. So once I heard it was going on, I went downstairs and went to see if there's any Macross merchandise being shown. Of course, Arcadia was there, and they were just showing the 0D, right? Is that the right number?
Yeah, 0D.
0D. The 1J with the GPB armor. And they had a 1S, but they were actually showing off the clear stand, the display stand.
Okay, so, like, yeah. Those are all products that are coming up, yeah?
Yes.
So we know that the 0D is coming, what is it, March or something?
Mm-hmm.
I think the armored 1J is coming out in January or something like that.
Well, Arcadia is planning to release the 160 scale VF0D in February of 2015. They also said that during Wonderfest, they will actually show the final color version of it. The one they had on display is not the final color. And I know Tengen had issue with that because he textured the actual 3D model for the OVA. So we'll see how close they get to that. And it's retailing. Retail price is 36,800 yen. So have you ordered it?
Translate that price. Well, for all of you who can speak Japanese.
Well, now that's probably about $300 and some change with the.
Well, 36,800 yen, not including tax. So, no, I have not ordered it. It's the short answer to your question.
But if you're getting it in US dollars, it's about $60 cheaper.
Great. I'll do that then.
Yeah. And the clear stand, the display stand.
Oh, is that in January?
Yeah, so you had that right. Oh, you had it.
No, I said the 1J was out in January.
I think they told me that the armored 1J will be sometime in sometime in May, I'm thinking.
Oh, so it's
unofficially, they said it's probably around May.
Well, I never got one of those armored Valkyries, so I don't know. I mean, I assume they're good because by that point, Yamato was just making everything.
Well, Yamato released two versions of it. They released the standard version, and I think their online version where it actually had the missiles firing. You could put in these plastic bits.
Yes.
Made it look like it was firing marshmallows.
Yeah, they didn't look...
I've got those, actually.
You got that set?
Yeah, at one of the open showroom sales.
Oh, man. And you got it for a deal and a steal, because that's the one that's worth a lot. But, no. Of course, the staffer for Arcadia was a former Digital Hollywood student again.
Oh, really?
They keep hiring people from Digital Hollywood, I swear.
Well, you know why that is? If you've ever seen Yamato's classified ads, where they're actually trying to hire people online.
Really?
The description for the job is just like, do fun stuff. But you need to have lots of knowledge of Western movies and Western music and blah, 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 and anime and all this weird stuff. Like, you guys make toys, right?
I don't think they hired the right people.
Oh, really? Okay.
And why didn't they hire me? So, but yeah, so I was able to take a lot of photos. They're happy to see me as always. And the table next to them was X Plus.
Who were they?
Well, somebody just happened to run up to me and be like, hey, I'm an X Plus now, former Yamato employee.
Oh, really?
Yeah. And he was saying, yeah, we're doing the monster. I said, yes, I saw the prototype.
From the concert there.
Yeah, so I saw the prototype of El Shari Macross and Marui.
It's huge, isn't it?
It's huge. It's massive. But they didn't have it there because it was being displayed at the time, I think. So they just had a bunch of Godzilla stuff. But he gave me his card, and he's really like, get a hold of us. You know, we want your help in pushing it and getting the word out. So I plan to touch base with him pretty soon after the new year and before Wonderfest. But yeah, seeing that thing firsthand, that thing is massive.
Is it the same size as the version 1 fan-made one that we saw at Macross WorldCon?
I don't know. I think it's relatively about the same size, but I think this one's longer.
The guns, the barrels.
Yeah.
I'm wondering how they're going to support those. It's almost like you're going to need a clear stand for each barrel.
It's almost like you need a silver
coffee can. Because they had it a lot when they was, I got a picture when they were setting it up. So they had a coffee can supporting it because it couldn't stand up. It's so
yeah. Well, because that's heavy. Probably all resin, so that's heavy as hell. All
right.
Unless it's 3D printed. But. So there was those. So Arcadia has stuff coming out. X Plus has the Monster Plan come out. And so I went around. Wave was showing two kits that they're re-releasing, which are the 1Ss with fast packs and strike parts. And over at Band Presto, they were showing the new Kuji. And what is it called?
Oh, they got like the new Cheryls, right? Those look really, really detailed. A lot of people have been saying they want those.
I can barely
read that picture. I think it's Haru Sakidori. So like just before spring. Utahime collection. So Diva collection.
I'm impressed you can read that font.
Oh, wow.
I'm just trying to make it out.
Ichiban Kuji Premium Macross figures are coming.
And it says do not replicate this and put it online as well. So.
Oh, is that what it says? No, well, I had asked. And they had said, yes, sure, go ahead and take a photo.
Right.
So I took a lot of pictures of the Cheryl and Ronka figures. Well, there's two large PVC Cheryl figures and one Ronka figure. And at this point, all the Ronka figures are looking the same.
Well, I guess she doesn't have as much versatility as Cheryl does in poses. Yeah. Yeah, like there's a lot of things you can do with Cheryl's hair as well.
Did you notice even in the illustration they had for Shadow Macross 7, like the Ranka looked really out of character because they tried to do a more mature look to her, and it was something new, but it seemed out of character. Whereas I suppose the poses for these figures don't look particularly new, but they're in character.
True. Let's see, and they're gonna have some chibi figures. Looks like keychains, art. I think they're going to have those signboards, those mini signboards.
Mm-hmm. Oh, the little shikishis.
Yeah.
Cool.
Oh, I know where these are from now. These are illustrations. They're from the Macross movie box
art. Box art, yeah.
So now these two, and you can own this is 3D the... isn't this the one where she's...
That's something.
Diamond Crevice in the Yankore?
Yankore.
Where she's playing the piano?
Piano, right?
Yeah.
It could be.
I don't think so, because didn't she wear a mask in that one?
Maybe.
It's not the wedding dress from the opening of Wings of Farewell, is it?
I don't think so.
No, it's not.
No? Okay.
But.
Oh,
anyways, the Cheryl, the Frontier movie Cheryl.
These guys don't know anything about Macross.
Anyway, some of the sculpts were really good. Some, I think the Cheryl in the big long dress is a little bit off. Her face looks really pudgy. But.
I have a question. How much of these. Ichiban Kuji things usually, because it says here one try is 900 yen.
Oh, they upped it.
It was 100 yen.
Right? Yeah.
No, it was always 600. It was always 800 from the beginning.
Really?
Yeah. It's 600 if they're the smaller scale figures.
Right.
Which are like the 1/10 scale. Like the Yamato figure, Ichiban Kujis, they're really small.
Okay.
Well, look at these. I mean,
these ones
are
always been. No, these are tiny.
Yeah,
but you're paying to make this price up. the larger scale figures.
Right.
But
if you lose, then you lose more.
Well, for 900 yen, you get a glass.
Which will all be 100 yen.
I can go to three coins and pay 300. Yes.
But they probably rose it because of the tax hike last year.
All right.
So it went from 800 to 9. So. But they were always 800, even from the beginning, I believe.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So they had a few things. They didn't have the other prizes on sale. They just showed the preliminary artwork. Some of the faces look cool.
So any before we move on, any final thoughts on the VF0D?
I don't plan on getting it, so I don't. Aside from taking photos everybody wants to see, it still is pretty big, like we said last time. The thing's huge. It looks good. Cockpit looks really detailed. I did notice that on the prototype, it had the same pilot name on both under both pilots.
No.
If you look at it, it's like they're both Shin.
At least it doesn't say piloted by Phoenix with an F.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, we should probably send them a reminder before they print that box. And that was it. They didn't have anything else there, Macross related, that I can remember.
Well, it certainly seems like Arcadia is not going to milk everything like Yamato once did.
No, I don't think. I mean, they're a smaller company than Yamato was. So.
You think they're going for the really. Ultra's too far, but like premium.
Well, I mean, look at the prizes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I don't know.
Well, I'm just sitting here waiting for that reissue of the VF4.
Me too.
So I have another one.
Screw you.
What? Not the Max and Miria 1Js with fast packs?
The things that I bought just before the Yamato crash and the panic buying happened? No.
You bought those? I thought you got the 22s.
I got the Gamelon 22.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
So now Arcadia is still there.
In the cupboard.
So hopefully nothing will be going away, and I hope they're still on schedule to release more stuff.
Well, nothing's going away, but there's not that much stuff coming.
Well, now that the yen's taken a dive, I think that's going to have a big effect on how much they spend as well.
Yeah.
So.
Hey, so did you hear about that demo song that was found on board the Mega Road 1? Apparently Tomo Cherry Spring covered, and it was her debut single. She broke into the top 10 singles chart at number 8.
Look, Renato, this is just like you're jumping in the middle of a discussion yelling SDF3. What are you talking about?
I'm talking about music selection from Galaxy Network chart.
Which is?
I believe, the first Macross 7 CD that ever came out.
And
in my hand, huh?
And the first Macross 7 bootleg. CD was bootleg.
Yeah, I have the booklet of the bootleg, in my hand right now, and it's really funny because as I showed to you earlier, it's a scan of the original bootleg with the staple holes scanned in. So you've got a double set.
Convenient.
Of staple.
You know where to staple.
Yes, you do. So there's this thing that I hadn't read in about 20 years since I first got the CD, because I don't have my booklet anymore. It's in London. I only brought back the CD.
You're keeping everything in boxes at home, Renato.
Yeah, these don't live in the. Okay. So there's a there's a little small blurb here that says chart action, which is chart action, and. It explains, hey, look, Firebomber can't be stopped. Their new single, Sweet Fantasy, broke into number 2, just behind Alice Holiday and Galaxy, blah, 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 blah. But can they make it to the top? So, you know, your typical, like, MC kind of thing. But there's this little gem here that apparently this week, Tomo Cherry Spring, who is obviously supposed to be Tomo Sakurai, has a song called Chikyu, which translates to Earth, but the pronunciation that they're giving for it here is Furusato, which translates to homeland or hometown. And it's apparently a song that was on a demo tape that was discovered on the Mega Road 1 that belonged to Lin Ninmei.
So
I guess. Among the wreckage of the destroyed Mega Road 1, The only thing that survived was the voice of some singer from 2009.
All right, thanks for clearing that up.
Yeah.
I'm sure that was due to the STF3.
Yes, let's ask Kawamura if it's canon next time.
So, Adrian.
Yeah.
Happy birthday to Cheryl.
Mm-hmm.
Past tense, of course, on November 23rd, it was Cheryl's birthday, which was a Sunday. But that weekend, the 22nd, 23rd, saw a couple of events over in Akihabara. Now, I thought overall we got more this year than last year. Last year we had some postcards, some picture cards, and a signboard for everyone to write their name on.
Yep.
That was about it.
Well, it was three types of postcards. If you got there early, you got the actual one that just had Cheryl.
Mm-hmm.
And then we got there and it was a mix of characters.
And
kind of cheesy.
Yeah, kind of cheap. But this year, wow, they did a lot more.
And last year was only at Volks.
Right.
Where this time it was...
Three venues, right?
Well, it was at the Tamashii Showroom.
Mm-hmm.
It was at... And then Volks, because they're releasing the Dolphies.
Mm-hmm.
And they also had it in the Rajo Kaikan on the 10th floor, like the exhibit space. Or they made an exhibit space.
Right.
Showing the history of the Chogokin Valkyries.
Right, so that was the Tamashii Nations tie-up, right? That they had going there.
Well, but the tie-up was already going on at the showroom down the street.
The showroom, right.
I didn't even know that there were three places. I thought it was just the Tamashii Nations.
Well, the one in the Radio
Kaikan...
thought
it was just the Radio Kaikan.
Right, the Radio Kaikan was by far the standout. The reason you go to the other two is because there was a stamp rally to get a sticker sheet of a brand new show, illustration for her birthday, right? So yeah, obviously, like the showroom, which was in the tunnel at the station,
mm-hmm.
you could get hands on with the new monster.
Yeah,
and you actually
really
came, yeah, and and Adrian, you got halfway transformed, right?
No, I transformed it all the way.
Oh, my bad.
It's the first time I ever transformed one, though.
I was thinking of Kawamori. Kawamori was the one who got it halfway through. He went from Shuttle Mode to Scorpion. Yeah.
Scorpion. The monster Scorpion. That was hilarious. So there was that. And then the other one, the second location was just basically get a stamp. You could go into a draw. Or you could do like an Ichibankuji for some postcards. Which there was a huge line for because the registers are apparently broken in the shop. And then there was Radio Kaikan, which was the main thing. At all these venues, they had cosplayers.
Yeah.
Like rented cosplayers dressed as Cheryl and...
Yep. Rented cosplayers. They had maybe around five different versions of Cheryl and one kind of Ranka.
Yeah. One Ranka. Yeah. I don't know why she was there. And she was just giving out directions and flyers.
She was giving out the Stamp Rally card.
Not true. The blank ones.
Yeah. You could get the Stamp Rally card wherever you went.
Right.
It's just you had to go back to the 10th floor to get the sticker.
To redeem it. So you go to three locations, you get three unique stamps, and you trade it in and get a sticker sheet. Now let's talk about Radio Kaikan for a sec. The first thing, you walk around and on the wall, on this narrow kind of corridor leading up to the entrance of the exhibit space on the 10th floor, was half of a 1-to-1 YF 29.
Yeah, I guess you could call it half.
About half. Yeah. It wasn't the full thing, that's for sure. Yeah. But it was certainly at least half, maybe slightly more, but probably close to the half. And it was a good illustration.
Yeah. No, and it's funny because when I was looking at it, because it gets blown up so big, and it's the first time they've had one blown up that size, except mm-hmm. for the Alto 25.
Mm-hmm.
I think it was. Was it the 25 or the 30 that they blew up?
They did a 30 at the crossover 30
yeah.
gig. There was a 30 on the wall, a Kronos.
But I think since then, Tengen's been to the Miramar Air Show
mm-hmm.
and seen all the jets up close.
Mm-hmm.
And it just seemed way more familiar. Like it had the real life detail in the panels and stuff, like we saw when we went to the Miramar Air Show.
Wow, influencing Tengen's art.
Yeah.
It's interesting. This is something he mentioned in a talk show later on, which we'll get to, but apparently he was not originally commissioned to do a 29. He was originally asked to do a 25. But
yeah,
he
right.
protested because he's like, look, there's a 1-to-1 replica of the 25, or the bulk of a 25 without legs or a tail, just one state, a couple of stations away. And people can go and see that whenever they want for free. So why would people come here to see a drawing of that? So he talked them into doing the 29. But the way he made that illustration, apparently, was he revisited the exhibit of the 25, took a bunch of pictures, which he then modeled that illustration off, off the real-life mock-up.
Which goes to show just how many reused parts there are in that Valkyrie.
Well, it was made due to extreme circumstances. So, Adrian and Renato, do you want to explain for our listeners what was actually in this exhibit space once you walk in?
Toys.
Well, there was DVDs. There's Blu-rays. They had all the Blu-rays.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Start at the beginning.
Yeah, but toys.
Okay.
Toys was the main thing that struck me, because I was going to...
I just reached out and they were like, toys. Renato!
It was mainly about the toys.
Toys, and toys, toys.
We came out, you get to the 10th floor, you turn the corner, you see the big one-to-one illustration.
Yeah, I didn't see no illustration. I didn't see no nothing. I walked in and it was toys.
Did you get the lift up instead of the walk?
No, I didn't. Escalator? No,
it's right in front of the entrance where everyone's taking.
No, I know, I saw it, but like it didn't jump out at me. I was like, okay, I guess that's nice. I walked in.
Oh god,
soulless bastard.
Yeah. I don't know what I was expecting. I wasn't expecting much. I was like, Cheryl's birthday, okay, great. But like, I guess I'll check it out because I had time. That's the only thing. For some reason, I needed time to kill. I didn't really care about
the
exhibit.
Kill time. You already had the time to kill.
I needed time. I had time to... What did I say?
Yeah, you said you needed time to kill. You already had it. You were killing it. But you weren't expecting much. This is the key takeaway.
I need people to kill
you
right
sure
now.
As hell weren't expecting a Spartan toy to be released.
I wasn't. No, it all took me by surprise. All
right, yeah. What took you by surprise?
The
Tell
Spartan.
Me.
Well, first of all, I walked in and the first thing I saw was the YF-19 Advance.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you know, that single one picture from that one angle with that one pose had been going around the magazines and
it's
on,
in Batroid
online.
Mode, right?
No, yeah, about 3 months.
Online.
Like the picture. The original picture was this awkward Batroid mode. Right?
Yeah, for a couple of weeks beforehand.
Yeah.
For a couple of weeks beforehand, it had been going around. But now finally you could see I could see it there, the real thing. And also you can see it in fighter mode. So, not all three modes though, just fighter and Batroid. So that was interesting. I really spent a lot of time just analyzing it from different angles. And then I went around and I saw those box set, Blu-ray sets. And then I went further down and I realized that actually they've got lots of historical pieces there too. Like the 155s, like the Super Ostrich. And weird odd things that I wouldn't expect to have been displayed, such as the Macross gun. Which is a standard P-Shooter gun with a Macross sticker on it, legitimizing the whole thing.
Well, it's just the 1980s space gun with the clear plastic... Yo.
Yeah, is it one of the ones that you pull the trigger and some sparks fly out and go?
It looks like it. It looks like it's you're gonna go.
Yeah. Those are like from the '50s, though. Anyway, it was that, and also the Macross vending machine toy, which is kind of
the
bizarre.
Kishigomu one. No, they had that was the Softy ones inside, right?
Well, isn't that the same as Kishigomi?
No, that's a racer. Softy is the soft plastic ones. No, I think
yeah, but
it was the Kishigomi ones.
Yeah. I remember seeing one of those in Osaka once, like loose out of the box, but it still had the Kishigomu inside the machine, and they'd been through many summers. So they were, first of all, they were inside the plastic outer casing of the vending machine itself, and then they're inside these tiny capsules, right? So inside the tiny capsules, you can see that they've completely changed shape and are totally deformed. Mm. And it's almost like they're in a packed train on the Chuo line, like sticking their faces on the windows.
I got what you mean. So what else did they have?
Joke machines.
Joke machines. And then they had something called High Metal R.
Now, what does the R stand for?
Reconquista.
Well, in the talk show they held...
Remain.
On the 22nd. I'll tell you what Karamori said.
Renato Rivera.
Says stood for. Stood for a bunch of things, apparently, all which came across as bullshit. High Metal R, only R we mean R for renewal. R for rebuild. R for reboot. R for rekishi, or history. And R for respect.
Well, they had that on the actual blurb that they, like, the description.
Oh, did they?
Yeah, I caught a photograph of it. Hang on, I'll read it to you.
Well, this was from a talk show they held afterwards, but so they had this.
Well, he was just like the talk show was held by Tamashii, and so he was obviously given a bunch of shit to say.
Well,
I mean, stuff to
let's
say.
Jump that into that in a moment. But so they had this diorama, Adrian, right?
And mm-hmm.
It was part of the STF-1 with
Shinbrando Haimetal R Kari. So you've got to put the Kari in there. Tentative so, working title.
Tentative. So maybe it's Delta High Metal Delta.
Lexi aru High Metal series no henke material kan. So R ni wa atarashiku souzou suru rebuild, reboot, revival. 歴史あるブランドに対するリスペクトといった意味が込められています。
He didn't say revival in the talk show.
Or respect?
He said respect. He said...
Okay.
He didn't say rekishi in that, did they?
No, they didn't.
Oh, there you go. Which is canon? Which version of this description?
Already! Diverging stories.
Maybe... So which one's the movie version? Which is the TV version?
Yeah.
So they had this diorama set up of the part of the STF-1 and just the monster! The monster there was huge.
Yes.
The original monster was great.
Yeah, it's not as huge as, obviously, the X...
No,
was it called X Plus?
X Plus.
Yeah. But
still, it was impressive in comparison to the other things.
Yeah, I mean, they're supposed to be doing it in the same kind of scale, I guess. Yeah.
But the most impressive thing there was seeing all these Destroids, I'd say. Well, the Spartan, yeah, the monster being a big Destroid, but you know what I mean, the Spartan.
Spartan, yeah.
Doing that club move, right?
Yeah, it comes with a club.
What?
So just, yeah, Adrian has
I know, we that. Think of things that don't sell and we just look at Adrian.
Oh!
Oh,
really?
I see.
Yeah, okay. So, and they had a TV up the end of the room that was playing a bunch of clips, and they had them labeled really, like, the stuff from the original Macross was from, like, the Macross News Division, and it said officially licensed from, like, it was all in English at the bottom.
Well, isn't that...
It was kind of interesting.
Isn't that what was playing at the Macross Museum? Or
it
the
was
Macross
different.
The which was the one with the VF-25, the real full-size VF-25 at Ikebukuro?
That was
that exhibition, the Macross exhibition.
That was the
it's not the museum.
Valkyrie Sasotte, right? The,
no, well, I don't
I
know.
Forgot. Yeah,
like,
but yeah,
they
was it the same thing.
I think it was the same video that was playing in the corner when that
okay.
when the full scale Valkyrie was first
that,
released.
So I can check. But it was fun. You know, they had. They went through a bunch of
the idea is that it was yeah I mean I think the idea is that they're it's officially UN spacey footage
introducing their different makes of
yeah
Valkyries.
So like it's, they're making it out to be real life
okay, no,
archival footage
no okay when they
you
first
I mean?
Had the 25
yeah the very first time
yeah.
they
we talked about it in the podcast before I think
yeah but that was a long time ago
so
they had that they had the diorama then they had a cutout of the poster, a large life-size cutout of that thing in the poster for the auditions for Macross Delta, where you have Cheryl and Minmay and... Was Ranka there too?
Ranka. It's a one-to-one cutout of Minmay in the center, Ranka and Cheryl on the side.
That's
the
right, yeah. And you could get in there and get your pictures with them, or they had prepared a microphone, like a mock-up microphone, so you could look like you were singing with the...
Oh, really?
No, it was a working microphone.
Did it work?
That was... They were talking on it when they were making the announcements.
Oh, I didn't know it actually worked.
So, yeah, you just turn it on, it would work. Because I looked at it. Remember, I was looking at
it
before I gave it back to him? And he was kind of like, give it.
I need it.
But
that was fun. And we got some pictures there. A lot of people were just taking pictures of the cutout. I dragged Adrian in. Said, you're taking a picture here, period. We cannot pass this... I'm wearing this sexy Macro Speaker podcast... hoodie. I can't pass up this opportunity to get a picture.
Oh, were you actually wearing it?
Yeah, I was representing.
He was wearing it. He even tagged the wall. So,
I did too, yeah.
So, okay, we gotta run through this a little bit
quicker. Speaker
podcast
was here.
So anyways, you edit this ever, huh? So you go in, you see the history of the Valks, the Blu-rays, DVDs, the actual VF the trainer and the Elite Seeker, those were actually samples. They had stickers on the boxes with the original release dates, prices, and they're so that was actually from
I know
the
at least
Bandai
one
Vault.
Of them was. Yeah.
No, they both were. I took photos of the actual sample stickers.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
So I guess the question is here, do you think they'll actually get around to making them? Or is this going to be...
Well, then you pass the stage where they're showing everything, and in the center were the glass cases of the conic monsters and the 19 Advanced.
Right.
There was also another display cases, another display case of the 25s, the 1Ss, the 171s, and they had the Macross 30,
the Kronos?
YF 30.
No, not the Kronos. They had the...
Oh, the Percival.
Yeah, Percival.
Oh, yeah.
YF-29B.
Yes. Which looked really nice. I don't know if that's actually coming out or if that's just something they made to put in there.
I think the idea is that they're going to make it then.
Yeah.
Well, it said there was just like sunk all your kind of thing. Yeah. So it's...
And, it's like Hamamoto Kanshuchu or something like that, which means that they're still getting it checked.
One of them was that. One of the other ones just said was there for reference.
Let's check. Oh, wait. No, I don't know.
So he checked. And then he got to the display of the diorama of the STF-1, where it had the monster. It had the FF-1S, had the Max Miria with the super packs. It had a Kakizaki, or a cannon fodder. There was some regalts, which you think look odd.
I thought the legs looked a little stumpy and...
chubby.
The angle was weird. But overall, I thought, it looked like a stubby regalt.
Yeah.
And there was another 1J with armor.
Yes.
And then there was the Spartan. And that was the one that took everyone by surprise. But the only thing I won't be surprised is when that toy does not make the line. And it gets canceled. Before they even get past the Valks. That's my guess.
It's funny because those Valkyries look the same as the ones that they released, like the original High Metal Valkyries. I met one of the hardcore Macross fans, and he told me that he was speaking to one of the Tamashi representatives, and apparently they'd said that actually they're going to change them up slightly, because if you want to put armor on those Valkyries, it won't work as is. So the main bodies of the Valkyries are going to be modified in some way. Maybe you have removable nose cones or something like that. And that means that you're not going to be able to use the armor on the old ones.
Yeah.
So that would be a pain in the neck.
Yeah. Well, maybe the line will make it, because before the line was because it was the 1/100 High Metals, is it?
Yeah.
And of course, those came out...
VF High Metals.
VF High Metals. Those came out pretty much after the Frontier... Well, during the Frontier televised boom. So it wasn't planned ahead of the production. So probably Bandai and a bunch of other people like Volks and Good Smile and Max Factory, they're all buying into probably the next Macross. So that's probably why they're getting them out now, or they'll probably even get out before the series airs. So maybe it won't get canceled, where the other ones came out, they weren't Frontier toys, so they didn't really stay around.
Not coming after the fact.
Yeah. So, and...
Okay. So, on the night of the Saturday, there was a talk show with Kawamori and Tengen. And this was limited to 50 people.
None of the hardcore Macross fans were.
Well, again, it was a draw system. And yeah, there were no Macross fans there that we know, because they streamed it on Nico Nico, which I time shifted and watched later. And as far as I could see in the audience, there was no one I knew in those 50 people. So maybe they were hardcore toy collectors?
Yeah, when I was there in the show, when I was at the actual exhibit itself before the show, I had to get back home. But as I said, I was speaking to Macross fans, those hardcore Macross fans, and they said none of us made it in there.
Right.
And so, they know each other, they have a network going on, and nobody knew who was actually there. And as you said, I watched the show live.
Oh, you did?
Because
I saw it on...
It was split up into two halves. Okay. It was the whole thing was like 2 hours.
Yeah.
The first hour was fine. The second hour, it started having problems. They were having outages. And it wasn't just my computer, because, I was looking at the Nico Nico comments in real time.
Right.
And everyone was saying, tomata, tomata, which means, it stopped, it stopped. And those, it used to be At first, it was like 10 seconds that you had a black screen, and then it came back. And obviously, they'd started talking about something else. And sometimes it would just hold the image for like a minute at a time. And there was one time when it stopped when it was showing... It was like... it was showing the pictures of the Lint Seeker and the ostrich and stuff like that. And people were commenting on, well, if it's going to stop, then this is a great place to stop. But yeah, I mean, it got so bad that there were a lot of people complaining. And the organizers put up a message saying, okay, we will restream this tomorrow morning and this will be the complete edition. So at that point, you know, I stopped really paying too much attention. But I did try to watch it till the end. The next morning, I watched it again, and they played the first part for 20 minutes, and then it completely stopped.
Oh, wow.
Again.
See, I...
Even on the second one. And then it started again from the very beginning.
Yeah, that's the thing, because they were saying it was a complete edition, but I was watching it, and it was still stuttering. I'm like, damn, is this my internet? And then it stopped completely. I reloaded. It stopped completely. I reloaded. And then I just gave up and I left it. Went out in the living room and I heard someone talking. I come back in my room and it started again from the beginning. I'm like, wait, has it reset?
Yeah.
No, it's at the 20-minute mark in the timeline. So, but once it started again, it was fine. It was flawless.
Yes, that was fine after that. But like, it really means that you can't plan your weekend at all. Saturday night is gone. Sunday morning, even past lunchtime, I believe, is completely gone now because of that.
Well, the sacrifices we make for remembering love.
Yeah. I don't know.
So, this talk show, though, there were a few things about it I really liked. First of all, chemistry between Kawamori and Tenjin was really good. I find Tenjin in any talk show kind of brings out more of a discussion element.
Well, Tenjin has an interesting kind of self-deprecating humor, you know?
He does.
He tends to... I wouldn't say, like, go as far as making fun of everything, but he certainly sees the humorous side of things and knows how to play things up and play things down sometimes. But there was a lot of really wacky stuff going on in that talk show, and it was, I think, probably the most enjoyable talk show out of the more recent ones that I've seen Macross-related on Nico.
I know that the one immediately after Macross 30 was a waste of time, I thought. It was ridiculous. Let's talk about the concert. I was like, will you show footage of the concert? No, we will talk about what people sang with no footage or pictures.
Is that the one where they had like a darts thing?
Which they then did for a talk show this week, but Kawamori was throwing the darts, so it was bad. But that's a discussion for later on. what I really liked about the talk show was, I don't know whose idea this was, but Tenjin, well, on the table in front of them, apart from the regular camera filming the panel, they had a camera on the table.
Yeah,
so
handheld.
They could get close-ups of the toys, play around with them, and half of the time, Kawamori was like a kid in a toy shop. He was playing with it and zooming into the camera.
Yeah, and do you know, you remember what the lady said to him, the Tamashii lady?
Tell me.
Don't play with it. Please stop playing.
How dare you play with this toy?
Yeah.
The other thing, though, he had some of the designs for the High Metal R's.
Like he had the CAD designs.
The CAD designs. And he was actually working on them during the talk show.
Yeah, it was kind of... I guess it was kind of half a performance kind of thing. But yeah, he... you know, someone on the boards said that... when we were talking about the August toy that was coming up, the really expensive one... and I pointed out that it was the design was overseen by, or supervised rather, by Miyatake. I believe his words were, well, it's just like a, what they mean by supervised these days is just like a photo opportunity with the guy grinning. And first of all, it's not true because Miyatake doesn't appear in photographs ever.
Right.
And second of all, well, here it is, you know, the guy, Kawamori, is actually overseeing and rechecking and adding corrections, making additions, basically revising those designs so that they can go back and redo them.
Right, so and on camera.
On camera. So we're still, you know, quite a ways away from any announcement of a release date.
Or a price.
Or a price. They're definitely going to be more expensive than the old ones, though.
Right.
Because, you know, everything is now.
Well, also going back to just having the camera on there, again, yeah, they got to do a lot of neat stuff with just zooming into
Kawamori's mouth.
Right.
Because they had a... Are we doing this in any particular order? Because I can't remember what they were talking about.
No, go ahead.
So one of the highlights was that they made a cake for Cheryl, because it was her birthday, after all.
Right.
This is, of course, after maybe 45 minutes of talking about toys and nothing but toys. So they were like, oh, yeah, Cheryl.
Her birthday, after all, you know. Enough of the toys already. Come on.
They bring over a cake, which was like a sample of... some cake shop. Oh, it's probably the Karakuro Nanyan Cafe.
They had a which we'll get to, a Cheryl birthday event at the Nyanyan Cafe, at the Karakuro Cafe.
Yeah.
And they had, sweets themed on her logo and her phone, and they had cakes. They also had $60 or $70 bottles of special wine just for her birthday.
Wow.
But anyways...
Okay, yeah, so this one was based on her mobile phone, because it's got the taiyaki. You know, I think one of them made a mistake like that on the show as well.
Oh, really?
Somebody called him takoyaki. But, it had weird stuff around it, like, it had blue globules and
blue
stuff.
Blue mousse kind of looking stuff, right?
Yeah, and so Kawamori was like, oh, yeah, great, yeah. And... Tenjin says, what are these globule things? They're blue. What are they?" And nobody could answer because there was no representative of the Nyan Nyan Cafe there. They were turning around, going, "Excuse me, what's going on?" And nobody could say. And afterwards, first of all, Tenjin said, "Oh, it must be one of Basara's stage costume blue glowing ball things."
But then there was another explanation.
But then afterwards, somebody said that it was fold quartz.
Yeah.
Right? And Kawamori was like, ah, fold quartz. Yes, yes, you're right. Yes, it could definitely be fold quartz. And of course, Tenjin comes in with his, wait. Isn't fold quartz supposed to be purple? And if you remember, when they released the original photos of the VF-29 Ozma,
right?
Which has fold quartz. The original photographs were, I think they were blue, right?
Right.
And then afterwards, the next set of photographs that they released were changed to purple. And that's probably because of fanboy ranting saying, no, fold quartz is not supposed to be blue, it's supposed to be purple. And guess what? You made it worse. It's better in blue. So... Kawamori is like, ah, yes, fold quartz. Yeah, that makes sense. And Tenjin says, wait, I thought it was purple. And Kawamori says, well, you know, there's very different varieties of fold quartz. And Tenjin says, wait, no, you did not just go there. Because I'm sure there are different varieties. But, you know, when we make the show, we have to stick to the set day, you know, the original settings guide sheet. So this is, you know, obviously revealing some kind of big argument that they must have had during production, because we've heard Tenjin not so much complain, but joke that Kawamori is really hard to work with because
I've heard Onogi complain about Onogi and Izubuchi, the director of Yamato 2199, complain about how tough Kawamori can be to work with. So
yeah, like, so he's got lots of
personality
Kawamori
quirks.
You would say, well, in Japanese you would say kodawari.
Yeah, quirks.
Quirks. Like he knows, you know, he's very specific with some things, but really roundabout with other things. And sometimes he's really roundabout with things that he was very specific with once,
right,
and not anymore, doesn't care anymore. And that's after all the stress that he's put everyone around him over. So that was the kind of humor that you saw if you were watching the show.
Do we want to pick up on just a few minor points, just things that I pick up during the show? First of all, there was the YF30 comment.
Oh, right. So, the show was basically made up of the Tamashii people handing Kawamori toys to play with and just talk about them for a while. So that's where the don't play with him comment comes from. By the way, when she said don't play with it, Kawamura was transforming the Koenig monster into a lobster.
A scorpion.
Because
he didn't get the...
The gun.
The guns in position, but they were looped up like a tail. Like a tail. Was like, hey, it's the fourth form of the monster. Scorpion form.
There's something very interesting about the transformation of the monster that I never thought about, really. This is a Koenig monster, right? So when the cannons come up,
mm-hmm.
the arm cannons, right?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
In shuttle mode, they're kind of closed like a hatch,
right?
Like the hatch of the regular space shuttle. So he was saying that some of the design elements are the actual transformation techniques itself, which are things that he's talked about before. But he mentioned that since this is supposed to be a space shuttle inspired aircraft, then you know it should also function almost similar to a space shuttle. So those bay doors are a representation of the old NASA space shuttle bay doors. And I thought that was cool because I never thought about it that way. And yeah, he's right.
He did have a couple of monster comments in particular. He mentioned that he originally wanted the transforming Koenig monster in Macross 7, but that he didn't complete the design in time, so ended up using it for VFX 2, the PlayStation game.
That's right, because VFX 2, it was only a few years after Macross 7. Yeah, he had plenty of time to refine it.
Hey, how much more gritty would Macross 7 have been if we had transforming Koenigs in it?
I don't know. If we had transforming Koenigs, it would probably be only in one episode. So
maybe they could transform with speaker pods?
They already did
sound
that.
Sound boosters?
Macross 7th chord.
Macross 7. It's been there. It's done that. He also mentioned the original monster. Looking at the toy and looking, you know, recalling the design, the original one from the original Macross, would not have been able to walk.
Right.
Just based on the weight and the center of gravity.
Yeah.
He was saying it would not have been able to walk. And I found that really hilarious because the key thing I think everyone remembers from the original monster is that key visual of it putting its foot down on the deck and the deck just getting crushed under the weight. Well, actually, no. It would fall flat on its face, or cannons in this case. So I thought that was kind of funny.
Is that cannon?
He also mentioned, interestingly enough, the version 1 of the Bandai Frontier Valks and how the renewals were so much better than the original ones that he was saying they should have actually branded them differently and called them like the YF-25-. Or something.
Yeah.
He's like, they're so amazing. They're really well done. It's like, well, so you're saying the originals were just utter crap?
Yeah, and that's kind of where we go back with the comment of supervision, because he was supposed to be supervising those original things. And that's kind of where that comment came from, I think. And I remember those magazines had lots of pictures of him grinning whilst holding up the version 1 terrible, terrible Valkyries.
There was a comment about the 29 I thought was interesting. Now, as I think I've expressed before, I was never the biggest fan of the original color scheme. It's grown on me. I'm fine with it now because it's the original 29. Just that pinky red, I was like, go red. It's kind of a pinky red. I just don't really like that color. I would rather a darker color on it. Maybe it's not gritty enough. I don't know. But the thing, ironic thing is, after I picked up one or two of the color variants, then I started liking the original. So he had this comment though. He said the 25 was originally going to be a single color, not a two-colored Valk.
Mm-hmm.
But in that color, that pinky red, when using it in action scenes, it looked far too similar to Barrera's Valk, and they're a little difficult to distinguish in action scenes for Wings of Farewell, which I thought was interesting. So they varied the color up as they did to make it more visually striking, and it worked.
Yeah.
So, I was mentioning the YF-30, Renato, and there was a hint dropped, and this is something we didn't mention in our Delta report.
Well, he was transforming the YF-30, and a piece fell off, and it was the egg carton. And people were laughing, oh, you broke it, and he was like, no, it's supposed to come off. I designed it so that he could replace this container with other things.
Now, that's not the first time he said that.
No, it's not. No. And so, yeah, so actually, he said it before the game came out.
Right.
So a lot of people were actually expecting to have options to put on the YF-30 when they were playing the game.
Right.
But we did not get that option. It was just, like, you got what you got. It was just a missile rack.
Anyway, as a setting, it's supposed to be able to have lots of different variations. And Tengen said, okay, so what other kinds of things could you have instead of this missile rack here? And Kawamori said, ah, well, you know, that would relate to, you know, something else.
Yeah, I could tell you, but I might be giving something away.
Yeah, something like that. I mean, not...
Well, Netabare ni naru. Was it? Something like that?
It wasn't Netabare ni naru. It was Kongo no neta ni tsunagaru.
Yeah, yeah.
Which means it's related to...
Something that's coming up.
Yeah. So, as I thought, we haven't seen the last of the YF-13. You know, and I think that Bandai would also love to reuse that mold in the future.
Right, right.
So, yeah, look forward to
new color schemes, perhaps.
Yeah. With new additional...
I mean, personally, and this is just speculation, I wouldn't expect it to be the main valve. Could it be cannon fodder? Maybe too early, but maybe a support valve, something like that.
Yes. Yeah, so that's that.
So the Macross 30... So the YF-30 will continue into the future.
Yes. Well, this podcast will continue in the future because Adrian has left. Adrian has to do some DJing for...
the club.
Yeah, he's got this club event where they play only things such as The Jam and The Specials and The Stone Roses.
And other bands beginning with
The. Like The Beatles? The Rolling Stones? I really wish I could go to those kind of events, but unfortunately I have to work on weekends. So, good luck to him. Gwyn has to catch a plane, so he's got...
I got some packing to do.
He's got some high times of his own.
We still have at least 3 recent events to cover, but, you know, there's just so much going on, but they'll have to wait for another podcast.
Yeah, don't worry. We'll get you an Omega Boost.
Oh, could that be a hint?
Yeah, it is. We're going to be talking about Omega Boost.
All right, so and on the topic of what is quite possibly, apart from Armored Core, Kawamori's most iconic design, the Omega Boost, this is a Macross Speaker podcast.
Is it just called the Omega Boost? Is that what the name of the...
I just call it the Omega Boost. I'm sure it's got a real name.
Don't you have the game?
I've got it, yeah. Somewhere.
Let's play it.
All right, we're off to play Omega Boost. Folding out.
See you later. Bye. Let's start Omega Boost. Let's check.
It looks like it's Rogue Zentradi.
Listen to my metal siren!